Hey, welcome to the Growth Dummies summary of Unshakable by Tony Robbins. Unshakable shows how to achieve financial freedom, security, and safety. Tony Robbins passionately explains how to grow your wealth using a simple investing strategy that includes index funds, compound interest, and diversification. You'll also learn how to avoid the two biggest enemies of beginner investors, which are fear and fees. Our top quote from this book is, "Nobody can predict consistently whether the market will rise or fall." End quote. So, who is Tony Robbins and why listen to him? Well, he's probably the number one motivational speaker in the world. People pack stadiums to hear him talk about how to be successful. Actually, his seminars look more like rock concerts with all the lights and energy. He's also a best-selling author and has coached people like Bill Clinton and Oprah Winfrey. If that's not enough, he lives in a castle and rides around in his own helicopter. And let's not even mention that private island he bought in Fiji that he then built another of his mansions on, as well as a five-star tropical resort. All this to say, if Tony Robbins isn't successful, then I don't know who is. But he wasn't always in this blessed situation. At 17, his abusive mom kicked him out of his house. He was working 18 hours every day and still barely making enough money to shelter and feed himself, and he had no idea how he would ever improve his situation. So, what changed his life? Well, Tony has incredible communication powers. If you've ever listened to him speak, you'll know that he has presence. And that's how he made his fortune. He understands what people want and what advice they need to hear to move forward, but he isn't just a good talker. He's always studied successful people like a detective, uncovering the steps that led to their success. And first, he copies those patterns into his own life, and then he teaches the same steps and patterns to students. And many, many people, including a few of my own personal friends, have credited Tony for changing the course of their lives. So for this book, Tony spent 4 years talking to dozens of billionaires and famous investors, people who spent their whole lives learning the secrets to building wealth. And Tony got them to spill the exact strategies a regular person like you or me can follow to become financially safe and free, even in our unstable and fast-changing modern world. Even better news, right now I'll share with you some of the best lessons I learned from this newest Tony Robbins book in a very fast, fun, and casual way. So let's start with lesson one. Don't believe investing needs to be risky or complicated. Many people feel overwhelmed just hearing the word investing. They think it's incredibly complicated, or they believe it's risky, like gambling, or they're afraid to make a wrong decision and lose their money. All these fears are understandable, but when you follow the right investing strategy, there's no reason to feel overwhelmed or worried. In this book, Tony Robbins explains the simple rules you can follow for safe and profitable investing, and he'll tell you exactly what to do to grow your savings and your wealth, and what traps to watch out for to avoid losing your money. And this isn't about gambling to get rich quickly. It's about creating a rock-solid foundation of unshakable financial security to support you and your family so you can live and retire with a peace of mind. And the best part is, when you follow these strategies, then your money begins to work for you instead of you always needing to work for money. Tony calls it, quote, "making money your slave instead of being a slave to money," end quote. There's a different personal finance author named Robert Kiyosaki. He's incredibly popular, and he wrote the best-selling book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. In that book, he shares his story of growing up as a boy in Hawaii with a poor dad, which was his biological father, and a rich dad, which was his friend Mike's father and a rich entrepreneur. And Robert says the most important lesson he learned from his rich dad was this. Here's a quote. Rich Dad explained this point of view over and over, which I call lesson number one. The poor and the middle class work for money, the rich have money work for them. And that was a quote from Robert Kiyosaki in Rich Dad, Poor Dad. If you want to learn the basics of investing and personal finance from a different perspective, by the way, then definitely go check out our summary of Rich Dad, Poor Dad also. It has some good beginner tips for growing wealth, investing in real estate, and more. But back to this Tony Robbins book. A summary of this first lesson: investing is for everyone, not just the rich or the 1%. If you follow the right strategy, then it can be a very simple and safe way to multiply your money. Now we have lesson two. Put your money into index funds for reliable growth. So let's start at the very beginning. What is a stock? A stock is a small part of a company that you can buy and sell. For example, you could buy 0.1% of Disney by buying some Disney stocks. And if Disney becomes more successful, then that stock also becomes more valuable. And the idea is in the future, you can hopefully sell the stock for a higher price than what you paid, and this makes you richer. So usually people think of investing as this kind of stock picking. They believe you need to choose the right stocks to become rich. And if you choose the wrong stocks, well, then you lose money. And this type of investing can sound like gambling. And to be honest, it kind of is. It kind of is risky. It's basically like you're trying to predict the future. And as Tony Robbins writes, quote, "The world is just too complex and fast-changing for anybody to see the future," end quote. I mean, just ask the executives at Kodak or Blockbuster. Those were two companies which appeared to be indestructible monopolies not too long ago. But the good news is you don't need to pick stocks. The investing strategy Tony recommends is very different, and this is the same strategy that billionaire investors like Warren Buffett, Ray Dalio, and Peter Lynch recommend to their family members. This strategy all centers around index funds. So, what are index funds? Well, when you put money into something called an index fund, you're not just picking one stock, you're actually putting a bit of money into every stock in a market. For example, have you ever heard of the S&P 500? This is a list of the 500 biggest companies in the US, including Apple, Google, Amazon, etc. So if you were to put money in an S&P 500 index fund, then you'd actually be investing in all those big companies at the same time. Instead of picking one stock, it's like you're picking them all equally. So why would anyone want to use one of these index funds? Well, because the stock market as a whole is very predictable. Over the long term, it's always grown. We'll talk about market crashes and corrections in a bit and why you shouldn't fear them. But by investing in index funds, you can be assured that your money will reliably grow over the long term. You know, in contrast, if you pick the right stocks, your money might grow. If you pick the wrong ones, then you could lose a lot of money. So with index funds, you don't have to stress about trying to pick the right stocks. Here's a summary of this second lesson. Picking individual stocks can be unpredictable and risky, like gambling. It's very difficult to predict which companies will be successful in the future. Just ask Kodak and Blockbuster. But when you put money into index funds, you're investing a little into every stock on the market. The overall market has always gone up despite short-term setbacks and crashes. Now we have lesson three. Multiply your money over decades with the magic of compound interest. So how much could your money grow with these index funds? Well, a writer at Investopedia says, quote, "According to historical records, the average annual return for the S&P 500 since its inception in 1928 through 2014 is approximately 10%. That was a quote from JB Maverick at Investopedia. So if you invested in an S&P 500 index fund in the past, your money would have grown by about 10% per year on average. Now that's about 7% after inflation. Keep in mind this is a long-term average, so some years the stock market grows by 30%, other years it stays about the same size, and other years it may actually shrink by 10, 20, or 40%. Ouch. But in the long term, the average growth is about 10%. And that's why Tony recommends we view investing as a long-term project. Put your money in for 10, 20, 30 years or longer. If there's a recession, then you may appear to lose money in the short term, but you actually don't, because if you stay calm and you keep your money invested in the market, then it always eventually recovers and your wealth will grow by about 10% per year. If 10% doesn't sound like a lot to you, then listen to this real-life example Tony shares in the book. Quote, "The S&P 500 returned an average of 10.28% a year from 1985 to 2015. Let's say you invested $50,000 in 1985. How much would it have been worth by 2015? The answer is $941,613.61. That's right, almost $1 million, end quote. The reason investing can pay off so much like this in the long term is because of something called compound interest. What's that? Well, we'll first have to explain what interest is. When your money grows through investing, that growth is called interest. For example, if you invested $100 last year and it grew by 10%, then you've made 10% interest and now you have $110. Let's continue this example. If you kept that $110 invested, then next year it might grow by another 10% to $121. And notice that this time, not only did your initial $100 make money, but that $10 of interest from the first year also made money. That is called compound interest. It's when your past interest also starts to earn interest. Basically, your money starts to grow exponentially. And while this effect may sound small in this example, which only covers 2 years, the fact is that over many years, this compound interest will actually grow your money a lot faster than you expect. In fact, Albert Einstein is widely rumored to have called compound interest the eighth wonder of the world. On the Growth.me summary of Unshakable, I posted a short video that explains how compound interest works visually. So if you want more detail, if you want a more visual explanation, then check out the text summary of this book on our website and you can watch that video. But here's a summary of this third lesson. Compound interest is when you earn interest not just from the money you saved, but also from past interest. This effect can make your money compound or grow a lot faster than you'd expect. Now lesson four. Avoid mutual funds because they perform worse and cost more than index funds, generally. While we've been starting to talk about the wonderful benefits of index funds and compound interest, there's a catch. Most investors don't earn nearly as much money as they could. Now here's the bad news from Tony, quote, while the market returned 10.28% per year, the research firm Dalbar found that the average investor made only 3.66% a year over those three decades. So remember before we said the stock market grew at 10% on average. And remember how $50,000 invested in 1985 would turn into $1 million? Well, if you're only getting 3.6% instead of around 10% returns, then at the end of 30 years, Tony says you'd only end up with about $150,000 instead of $1 million. But why is the average investor getting so much of a lower return than they should be? One big reason is mutual funds. Financial advisors working at banks and in investment firms are often pushed to sell mutual funds. These mutual funds have higher fees, which make the banks a lot of money. And you may be shocked to hear that most of the people providing financial advice are really closer to salespeople because they often make big sales commissions by recommending certain products to you. And the bad news is the products they make more money recommending are usually not the ones you should be buying. Well, that doesn't sound like unbiased advice to me. An actively managed mutual fund works much differently than an index fund. With mutual funds, there's a professional fund manager who picks which stocks will go into the fund. And in a perfect world, that sounds good, right? Having an expert pick stocks for you sounds like it should make you more money. But the problem is that mutual funds don't perform. They don't grow your money any faster than a simple index fund. In fact, they usually perform far worse than an index fund in the long term, especially when fees are taken into account. Here's a quote. One of the most shocking studies I've seen on this topic of mutual fund performance was by an industry expert named Robert Arnott, the founder of Research Affiliates. He studied all 203 actively managed mutual funds with at least $100 million in assets, tracking the returns for the 15 years from 1984 through 1998. And you know what he found? Only 8 of these 203 funds actually beat the S&P 500 index. That's less than 4%. So, end quote. So that means 96% of the most successful mutual funds run by very, very highly paid professional investors fail to beat a simple index fund that can be run automatically by a computer. So only a tiny percentage of mutual funds beat the overall market. And also remember, just because a mutual fund has done well in the past few years doesn't mean it will continue to perform well in the future. As Tony repeated many times in this book, quote, today's winners are often tomorrow's losers, end quote. Another big issue with mutual funds are the fees. Typically, you need to pay 2% or more in fees to use mutual funds. Well, if you're thinking, well, 2% doesn't sound like much, well, then you're right. It doesn't sound like much, which is how banks get away with charging it to most people. However, when you consider that your average yearly interest after inflation might be like 7%, then 2% is basically a third of your potential retirement savings. You know, 2% is a third of 7%. So plus over 30 or 50 years, the compound interest will multiply the effect of this lost growth. When Tony talked to the investing legend Jack Bogle, he heard the negative impact of these fees explained clearly. Here's a quote from the Tony Robbins book where he's quoting Jack Bogle. "Let's assume the stock market gives a 7% return over 50 years," Jack said. "At that rate, because of the power of compounding, each dollar goes up to $30. But the average fund charges you about 2% per year in costs, which drops your average annual return to 5%. At that rate, you get $10. So $10 versus $30. You put up 100% of the capital, you took 100% of the risk, and you got 33% of the return," end quote. That's right. When your return goes from 7% to 5% because of those 2% fees that many mutual funds charge, then at the end of 50 years, you end up with only $10 instead of $30. But what can we do? Well, we can listen to the world's top investors who all recommend investing in index funds. Index funds have far lower fees, usually less than 0.5%. Why are index funds so cheap? Well, first of all, they're mostly automated. Index funds don't need to pay a team of bank managers very high salaries. Second, they have low sales commissions or no sales commissions. The low fees of index funds aren't very profitable for banks, so financial advisors don't make big commissions selling them. Third, there are fewer trading fees. And this is interesting. Every time a mutual fund buys or sells a stock, they pay a trading fee. And the more they trade, the more you end up paying. These costs add up, eating into your returns. Index funds, on the other hand, will buy and hold the same stocks for years and even decades, so there are far less of these trading fees. More and more people are catching on to the benefits of index funds over the currently dominant mutual funds. According to the Wall Street Journal, people shifted over $400 billion into index funds in 2016, which was a new record. And I'm sure this will continue to grow as the word spreads. By the way, another book that enthusiastically promotes the benefits of index funds is called The Millionaire Teacher by Andrew Hallam. One very useful part of that book is when Andrew explains the sales tricks of financial advisors. He says that many studies have proven that mutual funds don't perform as well as index funds. Despite that, advisors still will usually try to convince you that mutual funds are better. So in that book, Andrew shares the best ways to respond to the predictable arguments of financial advisors in his book. So if you want to hear that, and it's very good information, then go listen to our summary of Millionaire Teacher by Andrew Hallam. So a summary of this lesson: studies show that index funds beat 96% of mutual funds in the long term. Plus, mutual funds have fees of 2% or more, which can steal hundreds of thousands of dollars of your potential retirement savings, while index funds usually have fees under 0.5%. And now we have lesson 5. Don't be afraid of market falls because they are normal and predictable. Here's a quote. "When any market falls by at least 10% from its peak, it's called a correction, a peculiarly bland and neutral term for an experience that most people relish about as much as dental surgery. When a market falls by at least 20% from its peak, it's called a bear market," end quote. So it's easy for us to sit here and imagine we will stay calm during the next market correction or crash. However, when you wake up one morning and see that you've lost 30% of your life savings overnight, then emotions start to take over. When the market starts going down, most people begin feeling worried or anxious. Now, the problem is that when fear takes over, that's when people make their worst investing decisions, decisions that may totally derail their long-term investing success. If you make a decision out of fear, like selling all your index funds because the market is going down, then you will end up losing money. The best way to remain sane and rational during those times is to learn about the history and learn about the reality of the markets. So the first fact, the first reality, is that market corrections have happened once a year on average since 1900. Yet, if you turn on the TV during a correction, the talking heads will always be moaning about how this is the end and how this time it's different. It happens every time. The attention-hungry news outlets inevitably start guessing that it's the beginning of the next Great Depression. Well, to be fair, that's their job. Scare people so their eyes are glued permanently on the news, and then they sell your attention to advertisers to pay their mortgages. Well, that's their job. The next fact, the next reality, is that only 1 in 5 corrections turn into a bear market. So bear markets, when the market falls 20% or more from its peak, they happen every 3 to 5 years on average. And the best antidote to fear is knowing that these corrections and bear markets happen very predictably. It's not a question of if another one will happen, it's a question of when. We know how often they happen, we just don't know the exact dates. So the next time the market goes down, there's no reason to change your investment strategy, because the market has always bounced back after every correction and bear market. Summary of this lesson: when the market falls by 10%, it's called a correction. These have happened once a year since 1900. When the market falls by 20% or more, it's called a bear market. These happen every 3 to 5 years on average. These market falls are very predictable, so don't feel worried or abandon your investment strategy the next time one happens. And now lesson 6. Don't sell your stocks if there is a market crash, whatever you do. Do you remember the big financial crisis in 2008? Big institutions like the Lehman Brothers were going bankrupt. Billions of dollars were being spent by the government to bail out big banks, and people were losing their houses left and right. The stock market took a nosedive. From October 2007 to March 2009, the S&P 500 market lost about 50% of its value. Yet, look at what happened next. Starting in March 2009 and over the next 7 years, even longer, maybe 10 years, the economy bounced back. The S&P 500 more than tripled in value, earning back every dollar it lost in the crisis, then shooting to new peaks. That's why the worst thing you could have done in 2009 was sell your stocks or investment funds. The best thing you could have done was hold on to your investments until the market recovered, just like it always has. Here's a quote: "Bear markets don't last. On average, they last about a year. In more than a third of bear markets, the index plunged by more than 40%. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. If you're someone who panics, sells everything in the midst of this mayhem, and locks in a loss of more than 40%, you're going to feel like a grizzly bear mauled you for real." End quote. Obviously, the future isn't going to be exactly like the past, but when we look at the past, we do see similar, familiar patterns repeating for hundreds of years. Bear markets have happened many, many times before, despite the talking heads on the news stations always claiming this time it's different somehow. If you do what Tony recommends and stay in the market over the long term, 10, 20, 30 or more years, then these market falls will only be short-term setbacks. The money you lose temporarily will come back if you stay in the market and wait a few years. In the book, Tony reinforces this point with this quote from Nobel Prize-winning economist Harry Markowitz. Quote, "The biggest mistake that small investors make is to buy when the market is going up on the assumption that the market will go up further, and sell when the market is going down on the assumption that it is going to go down further." End quote. In fact, during crashes, the smartest investors are usually buying tons of investments. They view a market correction or crash as the best time to buy more investments because it's like every company has gone on sale, just like food goes on sale at the supermarket. For example, in 2009, Warren Buffett bought a railroad company called BNSF for $26.5 billion. A lot of people couldn't believe he was spending billions of dollars in the middle of this economic crash, but Buffett knows what he's doing. He's been investing a long time. And today, that railroad company has turned into one of his most profitable deals. Revenues have gone up over 58% since he bought it, and he's made almost all his money back in just a few years, which is almost unheard of. Well, now people say he basically stole the company because of how cheap he bought it for. Yet, this has always been part of his strategy. In 2009, he said, quote, "A simple rule dictates my buying. Be fearful when others are greedy and be greedy when others are fearful. And most certainly, fear is now widespread." That's a quote from Warren Buffett. So, a summary of this lesson. If you sell while the markets are crashing, then you are most likely locking in your losses. However, if you keep your money in the markets, then your wealth will recover in 1 to 3 years. In fact, during market crashes, top investors like Warren Buffett are busy buying lots of new investments because they view it as the prices being very low. It's on sale. Now we have lesson 7. Avoid losing money even during crashes through diversification. Most people believe top investors are obsessed with making money. Tony Robbins says this isn't true. After talking to so many of them, he found the best investors are obsessed with not losing money. Warren Buffett even has a famous line, quote, "Rule number one, never lose money. Rule number two, never forget rule number one." And that's a quote from Warren Buffett. One of the best ways to avoid losing money is through diversification. Diversification means having your money in many different types of investments. So when the value of one type goes down, the value of others will remain the same or even grow. We've all heard that you shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket. Why? Well, because if you fall, then you break all your eggs. And just like that, if all your money is in one type of investment, then you can lose it a lot more easily also. Here's a quote. "Diversification is an admission that you don't know which particular asset class, which stock or bond, or which country will do best, so you own a bit of everything." End quote. For example, from the years 2000 until 2009, the U.S. stock market grew by just 1.4% per year on average. Many people call that the lost decade because if all your money was in U.S. stocks, you would have lost 10%, 10 years of, you would have lost 10 years of growth. Yet during the same time, international stocks grew 3.9% per year and emerging market stocks grew 16.2% per year. This means if your money was spread out around the world, then your money would have still grown. It would not have been a lost decade for you. And that's why diversification is so powerful. Here are 4 good ways you can diversify. First is by using index funds. With index funds, you're not betting your money on one company, you're spreading your bets across the entire market. Second, you can choose different types of investments, like a variety of stocks, bonds, real estate, etc. As the billionaire Ray Dalio warned Tony, quote, "It's almost certain that whatever asset class you're going to put your money in, there will come a day when you will lose 50 to 70%, end quote. 3 is spreading your money across many countries and economies. You never know when one country's growth will stall. For example, in the 1980s, the Japanese stock market looked unstoppable. Then it suddenly fell and hasn't really grown for 30 years. So any investors who kept all their money inside Japan can't be very satisfied. And 4th, buy investments over time. Nobody really knows when the cheapest time to buy an investment is, when the best time it is. But if you purchase your investments over time, then at least you can avoid spending all your money at the most expensive time. This is also called dollar cost averaging. Summary of this lesson. Diversification is a great way to avoid losing your money. This means to spread your investments out over many different markets and countries. Also, buy different types of investments like bonds and real estate. This allows your wealth to keep growing even when one part of the economy has a setback. And finally, we have lesson 8. Achieve true emotional wealth through growth, giving, and gratitude. At the end of the book, Tony shifts gears. He has spent a lot of time giving us solid advice for how to improve our finances. But now Tony wants us to see a deeper truth, and Tony believes this is the most important part of the book. Here's a quote. What we really want are the emotions we associate with money. For example, the sense of freedom, security, or comfort we believe money will give us, or the joy that comes from sharing our wealth, end quote. Many people get money, but they don't feel any different. In fact, some of the richest people in the world live in constant worry and fear that they could lose everything. So they don't feel satisfied or peaceful when they wake up in the morning. And is that really the wealth most of us imagine? Well, Tony says to really feel wealthy, we must take care of our emotions. He shares with us three ways to do this. The first way is growth. So first, Tony says we must keep growing. Everything in life is either growing or it's dying. So to avoid feeling unfulfilled or miserable, we must always aim for growth. And considering you're listening to a website called growth.me, well, then you're in the right place. Phil Knight, who founded Nike, also said that life is growth, you grow or you die. Although Phil Knight is a billionaire today, he says the most meaningful times of his life were when he was struggling to grow Nike, like the years he was selling shoes from the trunk of his car at running events. If you're interested in an inspirational story of entrepreneurship, then I highly recommend you go listen to our summary of Phil Knight's autobiography called Shoe Dog. Okay, so the second thing Tony says is we have to give. Giving our money, our time, or our attention to others. Sharing with others brings true meaning to most people's lives. Maybe the reason why so many modern people often feel life is meaningless is because we are more focused on consuming than giving. Viktor Frankl was an influential psychologist who survived the Nazi concentration camps of World War II. In those camps, everything was stripped away from the Jewish prisoners, their families, their belongings, even their identities. They were forced to work in great suffering, they were starved, they never knew when they were going to die. And Viktor Frankl witnessed that the prisoners who were able to find meaning in the middle of this hell were the ones who survived. According to Frankl, one of the three main sources of meaning for people is relating and caring for others. Frankl was able to stop multiple prisoners committing suicide by reminding them that they had family members probably waiting for them to come home. And Viktor Frankl wrote a life-changing book about his experiences in those camps called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. So if you're interested, go read our summary of that as soon as you can. It provides a lot of very good lessons for how to find meaning in our own lives. Okay, so the third thing Tony Robbins recommends is gratitude. Tony Robbins says he realized there are two ways humans can live, in suffering states or in beautiful states like joy and love. Of course, we all want to live in beautiful states, right? I mean, who would choose to feel angry, sad, or hopeless? But Tony says this is exactly what we do whenever we slip into a suffering state. He says we have to understand that good events don't put us into a beautiful state. Bad events don't put us into a suffering state. It's us who chooses to feel the way we do. Here's a quote. What I've come to realize is that the single most important decision in life is this. Are you committed to being happy no matter what happens to you? Will you commit to enjoying life, not only when everything goes your way, but also when everything goes against you, when injustice happens, when someone screws you over, when you lose something or someone you love, or when nobody understands or appreciates you? Unless we make this definitive decision to stop suffering and live in a beautiful state, our survival minds will create suffering whenever our desires, expectations, or preferences are not met. What a waste of so much of our lives. End quote. So how does Tony do it? How does he avoid these suffering states? Well, he says when he feels himself slipping into a suffering state, first he breathes and slows down. This creates some distance between him and the thoughts that are pulling him into suffering. And then he redirects his focus to gratitude and appreciation. Rarely do we stop to enjoy all the good things in life. We take them for granted and obsess over our current problems or what we lack. However, when we can slow down and feel grateful for what we do have, shelter, a friend, a lover, a family member, safety, technology, whatever it is, then we will almost immediately go into a beautiful state. Here's a quote from Sir John Templeton. To overcome fear, the best thing is to become overwhelmingly grateful, end quote. And On the growth.me website, on this book summary page of Unshakable, I also posted a video of Tony Robbins guiding an audience through a meditation for how to access a beautiful state whenever they want. So if you want to follow that exercise, then go to our website and you can watch that video. So in summary, people don't really want money. They want the feelings money can bring them, like freedom and security. Yet many people who become rich still live with fear of losing it all. So the real key is emotional wealth, which you achieve through aiming for growth, giving to others, and choosing to focus on gratitude. Okay, so that's all for this summary of Tony's latest book about money. I hope you've learned some important truths about investing that will make you much wealthier in the future, and a couple tips for your own emotional wealth too at the end. If you like Tony Robbins, and I think you also enjoy the teachings of Napoleon Hill, who wrote a few of the classic books in the genre of self-help and success. So next, go read our summary of Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. That book is based on interviews with over 500 millionaires, including Henry Ford and Thomas Edison. Napoleon Hill shares how to overcome the most common blocks to wealth, like a lack of motivation and fear of criticism. Lots of interesting tips in that book. That was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And I'll see you in the next summary.